Welcome to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore people, stories, and events in Central Iowa. I'm Kay Patuk, your host for today, and I'm very excited about today's program. In honor of this month, April, being National Poetry Month, we feature two very distinguished local poets, Dennis Maulsby and Maggie Westfold. Dennis served as a soldier in the Vietnam War, and part of our recorded conversation together is about war poetry in general, as well as about the local poetry scene, on which Dennis is an expert. The other featured poet today is Maggie Westfold, who was born and bred in this area. In today's program, she honors Emma Lou Maas, a deceased local poet who was also Maggie's very good friend. Then, in a complete change of pace, in the second half of the program, you'll be able to anticipate entertaining your out-of-town relatives and friends as Alison Walter of the Ames Convention and Visitors Bureau updates us on the many attractions of Ames as a tourist destination. But first, let's hear the weather forecast with Von Kettleson introducing climatologist Elwin Taylor.
Well, we certainly had some great weather here this past week and a lot of farmers out in the field, and we're talking weather here with ISU Extension climatologist Dr. Elwin Taylor. Elwin, what will the coming week bring for us weather-wise?
Well, it looks like the hope that we have is getting thinner. We do anticipate that by Wednesday, the temperature will have dropped by 15 degrees in the daytime and the nighttime temperature by 20 by the time we get to Wednesday night. In other words, we're going to be seeing high temperatures in the 40s on Wednesday, low temperature in the mid-30s. It'll get a little warmer after that, but we're headed for cooler than usual weather. And yes, as that cool comes in, we do have a chance of precipitation, 50 to 80% on tomorrow night, and maybe some of that dragging on Wednesday, but then getting out of the way. But still, not really warm coming into our area, but cool, at least for a couple of days. Precipitation is likely to be heaviest in the northwest quarter of the state, especially on tomorrow night and Wednesday, and then moving to the east part of the state for later on Wednesday. We do anticipate that the 6 to 10 day period is going to be colder than usual. Everything in the plains to as far east as Indiana, at least, warmer than usual after you get past Indiana going to the east coast. But wetter than usual every place east of the Continental Divide, with the possible exception of the Texas Big Bend area. But on the moist side of usual, not soakingly moist for Iowa, as it looks like. Most of the heavy precipitation going up the Mississippi River and then into Indiana and over toward Michigan. Nevertheless, we wish you good weather, at least for the time of year.
ISU Extension climatologist Dr. Elwin Taylor. I'm Von Kettleson.
Well, that's the last but one weather report we'll be hearing from Elwin Taylor. Next Monday's is the last one. I guess Von will tell us, or Elwin will tell us why then. That's Monday, May the 1st. And very quickly now, we'll be going right into our first interview with Dennis Maulsby. But first, just a brief reminder that we haven't quite reached our goal for this spring fun drive. So please, get your donation in if you haven't already done so. Put it in the mail, donate online, text your donation, or drop it off in person at the Ames Pantorium. But please donate. We depend on your donations, and now's the time. But without more delay, let's hear from Dennis Maulsby about poetry and war and how poetry has helped him cope with war. I'm here with Dennis Maulsby, a local poet, well-known local poet who's been in Lyrical Iowa and received different awards from several places. And he's here to talk to us about his own poetry and about the local poetry scene in general. Welcome, Dennis.
Thank you, Kay. It's a pleasure to be here, as always. Yeah, this is, of course, Poetry Month, National Poetry Month, not just local or state. So it's great that KHOI is having poets on throughout the week, throughout the month. There's many, many poets and writers groups throughout the state. Iowa's probably got more than most. If anyone is interested in poetry groups, there's several poetry groups that I might draw your attention to. There's a local poetry group called Third Stanza. They meet at the Ames Library. So take a look at the Ames calendar. You can find the dates and times. There's an Ankeny Writer's Workshop, if you care to travel a little bit. And there's a plethora of writers' groups of various kinds in Des Moines. So whatever you'd like to write, whether it's poetry or prose, you can find a local group that's willing to take you in and listen to your poetry, and in a safe environment, give you feedback if you wish. So now don't just wait for Poetry Month. You can have poetry every month.
Now, Dennis, I know you're involved, very involved with Third Stanza. Do you know anything personally about these other groups you mentioned?
Yes. And, of course, there's one that's coming up, has a meeting coming up on the 29th of April, which is a Saturday at 9 o'clock. It's held in Des Moines. It's the Iowa Poetry Association, and that group's been around for over 70 years. They have workshops twice a year, once in April, once in October, and you send in a poem without your name on it, and they will have two readers and two critiquers. So you're safely ensconced in the group, and you can listen to the reader read your poem, and then the critiquer will critique it. It's a great way to take a poem that you've written and you want some feedback on, because of course
it's all anonymous.
Yeah, it's all anonymous. Of course, you're the worst judge of your own work, mm-hmm. So it's nice to have somebody else read your work and give you some feedback. They also have a Lyrical Iowa contest once a year, starting in January and February. You can submit up to 5 poems to Lyrical Iowa, and they have to be 20 lines or less. But it's a great contest, and they usually have several thousand poems submitted. And out of that, they usually pick about 300 that goes into the Lyrical Iowa anthology. So go to the Internet, look up Iowa Poetry Association, and you can find the rules and guidelines.
Well, that's a lot of different opportunities for people. And we will put this on our website. Well, how about your own work recently, Dennis?
I've been pretty lucky. I've found published 5 books, 3 of which were self-published, and the last 2 of which have been traditionally published. Mm. I sent the manuscripts in to a publisher, and the publisher bought the manuscript. So they went ahead and produced the books. I get royalties. So,
terrific.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, the days are gone when poets can make a living from being poets.
Yeah. There's an old saying in the business that if I wanted to make money writing, I'd be writing ransom notes.
So, or composition textbooks.
Yeah.
Being renewed every year.
Cookbooks. Cookbooks sell really well. So if you're a good cook and a poet, you probably could double up and really have a good selling book. The poetry book that they published for me is called Near Death, Near Life. And a lot of the poems in it originate from the experiences I had in Vietnam when I was there as a soldier. The book has won, it was named a Best Books Award finalist in 2016, and also received a Gold Medal Award from the Military Writers Society of America.
Now, Dennis, we've talked before about your experiences, a little bit about your experiences as a soldier and its relationship to your poetry. Now, if I remember correctly, wasn't it sort of the stress of combat and so on, the stress of serving in Vietnam that really pushed you into writing poetry?
Yes. One of the things I discovered after trying many, many things, ways trying to deal with the experiences that I had there, was that creativity is really a great way of combating trauma. And it doesn't make a difference what the trauma was, whether it was civilian-induced or in the military, that if you do the creative act, whatever it might be for you, whether it's painting, sculpture, singing, writing, that probably has the most therapeutic effects of anything I discovered. So I picked writing after trying a number of things.
Mm-hmm. Of course, soldiers often try, understandably, drinking, drugs.
Right. I had a buddy of mine said when we came back from Vietnam, we tried to deal with our experiences with women, drugs, and creativity. And I chose creativity. The other two are much too dangerous.
So do you want to give us a sample of some of this?
Sure. One of the things I found is that it's very difficult to write a poem that takes a person into the effect of combat that has never been in the military. And so one of the ways I've tried to do that is I've tried to do it with musical terms. So there is a certain crazy music to combat. And this poem is called Kill Zone Requiem. We wade through jungle shadows. Sweat drips off our tiger-striped fatigues to wet, red Asian soil. Boots scuff, release fermented, biting odors. Butterflies blink wing eyes, shimmy dragon tails. Insects and droning, click-bodied clouds flutter, nip, creep. Sawtooth leaves and vine thorns scarify our necks and arms. The clack of hornbills, the chortle of long-tailed macaques, set the tempo. The bass drum whomp of mortars firing slaps our cheeks. Explosions shake triple canopy trees, their creaking limbs a pizzicato of violin and cello. Bodies crazy dance to the brass cymbal screech of slicing shrapnel. Mm. We hear the tremulo drumstick smack of jacketed bullets pierce canvas, cloth, flesh. The splintered oboe thunk grunt of metal embedding in wood creates jittering chords. Smoke-curdled air quivers with the clarinet warble of blunt-nosed ricochets. We die and give up, a final fugue of voices. Jumbled echoes fade, weep off elephant grass, strangling fig, twisted lianas. So you've never been in an ambush? There you go.
Right. Oh. Yeah, that the sort of imagery in that, I suppose, if you've read a lot of poetry about Vietnam, poetry about Vietnam, it's not so surprising. But, you know, I've read a lot of First World War poetry. And, of course, the scenery is completely different in this. And it's very surprising. All this sort of rich, luxuriant growth. And these sounds of combat, too.
Yeah, the First World War poets are kind of our guidelines for succeeding poet soldiers.
Right.
Some of their work I can identify with a lot of it, even though the physical surroundings are different.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But the fear, the terror, relief, the boredom, I mean, that's all. Soldiers experience that regardless.
Right. Would you say, talking of the World War poets, would you say that First World War poetry is still better known than Second World War poetry?
Yes.
That's my impression,
yes.
Too. And do you think that's justified?
I don't know. I've read some of the Second World War poetry, but I just don't think it got the play. And I don't know why.
No.
Yeah.
And, of course, you don't want to repeat what's been done before, so they tried to do something different from what Siegfried Sassoon and Wilfred Owen and people like that had done. And so they had to try to say things in a different way. There's a few poems that come to mind, Death of a Ball Turret Gunner.
The Ball Turret Gunner, yes.
Yeah.
Anybody that reads that, I think,
right,
would
yeah.
Get the terror and the horror of it. Basically, the Ball Turret was a... gun mount, mounted in the belly of a B-17, and they had to get little tiny guys to get in there because it wasn't very big. You were crammed in there,
yeah.
And frequently when the plane took flak or took damage, that ball turret would stick, and you couldn't get them out because you had to turn it a certain way in order to get them out, and if you couldn't get your landing gear down. When you came in, you crushed that ball turret and, of course, the man that was in it.
Yeah, and if I remember, that poem ends with, we had to hose him out.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, and I haven't quite got a picture. I get the impression that it's sort of a little thing hanging under the plane, completely
right.
Exposed.
Right, it's like anyway. A bubble that
so
a man fits in.
Exposed.
And it's got 250 caliber machine guns sticking out of it, and they would wheel that around and 360 degrees and shoot at enemy.
Mm-hmm. But they're also very exposed under
right.
there. From being shot at from below, yeah. Where they can't even see them anyway.
Yeah. Now, the B-25 or B-24 had a ball turret, but it was retractable. You could pull it up inside the plane.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just the B-17 that had that flaw.
So that's one World War II poem that made an impression on me.
I think I remember one of Sigrid Sassoon where he was playing the part of a soldier that had got his leg shot off and was really happy about it because he was going back.
Right.
You know, when you have that kind of damage and it makes you, you had this great sense of relief and great sense of, I don't have to be here anymore. They're going to send me back. I mean,
right.
You can see where the values, where those values are and the values that are so different from what you would have as a civilian.
So, shall we move on to your second book?
Sure. Just a final footnote on the Book of Poetry, Near Death, Near Life. I learned last month that it's been nominated for a cover art award, the Da Vinci Eye Award from the Eric Hoffer contest. So I don't know if it'll get it or not, but at least it's a finalist. No,
I'm looking at this cover at the moment, and it's a sort of a female body that looks as if it's sunbathing. It looks as if it's got a bikini on and not much else, or half a bikini. But it looks sort of wasted and maybe half dead, too, and very bronzed. And it's got, is that meant to be a gas mask on the head?
Yes. Yeah. The figure that you're describing is from an oil painting by a Bulgarian artist. Mm-hmm. And it fits the Near Death, Near Life title. That there's the sun, which is, of course, a source of life. There's the female body, which is a source of life. But the female body has, you know, it obviously is suffering because it's you're in between. And, of course, the gas mask is a symbol of death. Right. So you're in between the two worlds, the life and death.
She looks as if she's being burnt up by the sun completely. Yeah, and needs a gas mask.
And I think the publisher was really good here. The publisher is Prolific Press. And they chose the color scheme on the cover. It's actually from the U.S. Army color palette.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So these are the colors that the Army would use.
And what do you call that?
Camouflage, and depending on where they are in the world. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was big, given the military nature of many of the poems. I thought they made a very good choice. Okay. Somebody else has agreed with that, of course. My second book that came out in November of last year is a book of 17 short stories. Each short story is introduced by a poem to get you in the mood for the story. And each of the stories is a different genre. So we have a murder mystery, gothic horror, western, sci-fi, crime, combat, romance. So there's a story in there for everyone.
Okay, and a poem to go with it.
Yeah, and poems to go with it. Just to give you, there's one of the stories, the hero is an aspiring writer. And the devil shows up to make him a deal, you know, that he'll make him a popular writer if he sells his soul. And I'll read just that little bit to you so you can see what, get some feel for it.
So then this is in the modern period. This is not in the time of Faustus or...
No, this is current time. Devil's still there. I had to give him credit. The devil shrugged off my attempts to be playful and proceeded like the vastly experienced salesperson he was. Cutting to the chase... His offer was to make me a successful writer, poet, essayist, playwright, novelist. I could do all these. Any form of writing in which I wished to indulge would be published and receive acclaim. A sufficiency of money would be forthcoming, but he allowed that in his reading of my needs, fame as an author appeared primary and wealth secondary. A side benefit, the intellectual women to whom I was always attracted and with whom I had always been unsuccessful would vie for my attention. Well, you know, it's like John Wayne said when asked by Barbara Walters why he always married women of Latin or Spanish descent. The Duke said, every man picks his own poison. I sat there silent, enjoying thoughts of my books being published. I came out of my reverie looking for pen and blood ready to sign when he finally said, all right. I never even offered this to Tom Clancy. And when they make the movie versions, they will faithfully follow the plots of your books. So what writer could resist that? You'll have to get the book to find out what he does, what the hero does.
And then is there a poem to go with that?
Yes. This is the poem that introduces that story. It's called The Appointment. I saw death again today, standing in the middle of the block, just on my way to work. His clothes, dark shadow rags. He smiled and waved. Withered, fingers splayed. Blank-faced, I stared at that perfect stalker. Perhaps it was my time. He wore a pork-pie hat, pulled down tight, curls escaping around the edges. Appearance not fashionable. He didn't care. Ultimate, damn iconoclast. He leaned forward, rubbed his chin, and rasped, "Remember, I'll come when you make the appointment. When your soul knows, way beyond doubt, you are ready. Friend, you've been so close at times." Death is an old comrade to soldiers.
Sure, yeah. I've been talking with Dennis Maulsby about the local poetry scene and about two of his works published by, not by himself, these two, but by regular publishers that he got paid for. One's called Near Death, Near Life, and the other one, Free Fire Zone. Free Fire Zone is the one with stories and poetry. Thank you very much, Dennis.
Thank you, ma'am.
And before Dennis left our studio, he did record a special message for you, our listeners, during KHOI's pledge drive. And here it is.
This is Dennis Malsby asking that you give your support to KHOI. That's a wonderful station in the old, cut from old cloth, so that we have a great variety of programming, that something for everyone. There's music of all kinds. There's current events. And best of all, they have a lot of local folks on.
So you can pledge online at khoifm.org and just click the donate button, or text us at 515-200-200-7758, or just drop by the studio. We're always pleased to see you. And now, before we hear Maggie Wetzfold, our second poet today, we've got a special and very appropriate music break lined up for you. You'll hear the magical voice of Joan Baez as she sings the words of a poem, Nothing is Given to Man. The poem was written by Christopher Loeb, and it's been set to music by Donovan. The poem speaks or sings very appropriately to themes of war, human suffering, and human foolishness. The musical version of Nothing is Given to Man is sometimes called Be Not Too Hard. And here's Joan Baez.
Be not too hard, for life is short, and nothing is given to man. Be not too hard when he's sold or bought, he must manage as best he can. Be not too hard when he blindly dies, fighting for things he does not own. And be not too hard when he tells lies, or if his heart is sometimes like a stone. Be not too hard, soon he'll die, often no wiser than he began. Be not too hard, for life is short, and nothing is given to man. Be not too hard, for life is short, and nothing is given to man. Be not too hard when he's sold or bought, for he must manage as best he can. Be not too hard when he blindly dies, fighting for things he does not own. Be not too hard when he tells lies, or if his heart is sometimes like a stone. Be not too hard, for soon he'll die, often no wiser than he began.
That was Joan Baez singing the words of a poem by Christopher Loeb, and this is Local Talk, where we'll hear from another local poet in just a minute. But first, let me just remind you that we really need your pledges to meet our goal. We're getting closer, but we're not there yet. Thanks to a $15,000 challenge grant provided by several listeners, every dollar you give is worth $2 to the station. So call now, 515-292-2878, or pledge online at khoifm.org, or text us at 515-200-7758. And thank you. And now let's hear local poet Maggie Westvold as she honors another local poet, Emmalou Mass. Maggie starts out in this recorded interview by introducing herself.
Yes, I'm Maggie Westvold. I am an Ames native. I was born at Mary Greeley, grew up in mostly in the Colo and Nevada area, went through the Colo schools after fourth grade, and eventually landed back in Ames when I was 23, I believe. We still live in that same house. It's our starter home. And we are one block hospital we were both born in, so we tell people we never got far in life. It's my spot, though, and I, in spite of tough traffic, I love where I live. I asked Kay if I could use my time to do this. I have lost too many friends who are wonderful poets, and I would like to honor them today, talking about how they came to be my friends and then share some of their poetry with you. And I have a couple poems that I wrote for them that I'll also try to include. The first one I'm going to start with is Tomalu Moss. Tomalu passed away in 2002, July 1st of that year, from metastasized breast cancer. She was only 58 years old, and I just had a wonderful conversation yesterday with her husband, Randy, in Cedar Falls, and we talked again about how unfair life can be. She came from a family of women who lived way up into their 90s, but she did not get to. We met at DOT. We worked there together for 10 years. We didn't become immediate friends because Tama was a very scientific mind, and I am not. So we spoke in the hall, and, you know, we were courteous to one another until I'd probably known her for 3 or 4 years, and her brother tragically lost his wife very suddenly and had 2 little children, and she wanted to help him with mothering, and had no children of her own and no experience to speak of. So she came to me one day and asked if we could have coffee regularly. Could I help her know a little more about mothering small children? And so that's how we came to know one another. And our friendship lasted until she died. She became a very close friend. She had a sister, but they never had been close. And I think in some way I became a part of a sister that she... The relationship she wished she could have had. And she was very, very special to me, a mentor with my poetry. She had a master's in creative writing from UNI. And
a scientific mind.
Yes, she did, very much so. I wrote environmental documents at DOT, and she was a specialist in the scientific end of things and just provided data to the writers on the studies on the more scientific end of things for each project. So, but her, in looking for her poetry to share today, it was especially fun to open up the 1999 Lyrical Iowa and find that my bookmark on the page where her poem is was a copy of probably one of my last emails from her. This is 1999. This is 2 years before she died. Three years before she died. But I printed this one off to use as a bookmark because it refers to the poem. I'm just going to read you a few of her words out of this email. She says, "So how's your writing going? Well, I hope. I always get a kick out of the thrill you get from it. It's so nice to see such excitement. I felt that way too. Maybe I'll get back to writing if I can keep this depression at bay. Today has been very, very good for me. I received notice that I placed second in the general adult division of the Iowa Poetry Society annual contest. I got a chuckle because Vince Gotera, the UNI English professor teaching poetry when I was studying for my master's, placed third right behind me.
Wow.
My poem was At Rausch's for Breakfast. It is a visual image of the restaurant life in this little family-operated place in Gutenberg, Iowa, where we like to go." She and Randy went there a lot.
Now, the depression she referred to, had she only been diagnosed with cancer then?
Yes, and the depression was part of the, just part of that struggle for her. So this is called At Rausch's for Breakfast. A clatter of dishes and bar stools, capped with locals drinking their coffee. Outside, cars hustle up to the gas pumps. The flag billows in the breeze. Highway 52 brings tourists, but mostly it's the regular fishing folks who warm Rausch's with heat of conversation and coffee and laugh at Roy's twice-worn jokes. Still, it's that picture on the wall that attracts everyone, even when they take it for granted. The duck pond, once part of the big river, 7 Canada geese flying in, almost close enough to touch. Red wings and yellow-headed blackbirds echoing from cattails as green buds force their scales. Steam from his stack of pancakes and sausage hot on the platter coax warm feelings of spring as fog lifts over the bluffs.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Tell us again, where is this restaurant?
Gutenberg, Iowa. It's my husband handled signing for the DOT, and he said that is a very famous restaurant.
And it's a big fishing spot.
On the Mississippi, yes. That's one of our bigger tourist areas in Iowa, is the Mississippi and northeast Iowa and Gutenberg and the...
Tell I'm not a native Iowan.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was wonderful, and it really invoked the food and moments.
Yes, yes. Oh, yeah, she puts you right there. That is where Randy and Tama hoped they could retire, was mm-hmm. Gutenberg. When she passed away, he said he might land there, but he has not yet. He's still doing well in Cedar Falls. Another poem of Tama's that I found that I know she especially loved, was also published in Lyrical Iowa the year before that, in 1998, and she was a student in a country school at Pleasantville, Iowa, was where she was from, and this is called Annie Finch's Classroom. One can liken Annie's classroom to the woods, to the humming of a beehive in the glen. Our synergistic forces fill the air as students share their lines of poetry and laugh or ask for help to hear a meter. Her class is where we learn to build our skills, perchance to write a sonnet filled with truth. Yet all this while she guides us with her will and thus endears her students to her still. Mm. Yeah, she loved that teacher.
That was a sonnet, right? Yeah.
I think it was. You know, as I read it, wrong page. I don't know if it's long enough. It's not long enough to be a sonnet. Here it is. Oh, yeah, no, it's not quite long enough for sonnet, but it has that rhythm to it.
Does.
Yeah,
it does.
Yeah. And... the last thing I'd like to read in this part about Tama Lou is, this is one that I wrote, about 6 weeks after Tama died. I went to visit Randy, spent an afternoon with him. And this one I wrote in the days after I came home. It's kind of a retelling of my time with him that day. And it was published in Lyrical Iowa in 2008. It's called Singing Tama Lou. Beyond the window... a low rock cluster, a pie pan perched for rainwater, for twittering chickadees to sip. From her portrait in red on the wall, eyes like dark diamonds shone as if she'd soon speak. He shared 34 years of shoebox photos, her poems in praise of his passion for roses, for bass, 7 love letters scripted on soft pink linen, she had tucked in the folds of the navy dress he most loved to see her in. He sang her name for hours, let the sound of her roll across his lips. Tama Lou, Tama Lou, Tama Lou. Lifted strands from her necklace tree, lapis pearls and malachite, his gifts for his precious gem. He listened to my sadness and my joy. He let a sister friend lament in harmony with the one who knew her best and loved her most.
That's just wonderful. I got choked up with that.
Yeah, thank you. I was afraid when I was putting this program together that I might have that kind of problem case. So far, I'm all right. Because this has really been an emotional trip for me, pulling this stuff out. I've lost too many poetry friends, and it's no fair, says me. But they are gone. So that is the part I wanted to share about Tama Lou, and I told Randy yesterday on the phone, we had a very nice visit, and I said, you know, there's still one more poem I want to write, and it's called Randy and Tomalu, A Love Story. They did not have children, but they were a very committed, in-love couple, and it was very hard to see him alone.
Right.
She did not...
really comes out in that poem, Mark.
Yeah.
Thank you. Devotion.
Thank you.
Yes.
Yeah. He's still devoted to the loving memory of her, and just as she wanted, he has moved on and has a wonderful friend, and that's what Tama wanted. She didn't want him to be alone, so I'm happy for him, and he's doing well.
This is Local Talk, and I'm your host, Kay Potok. If you enjoyed that interview with Maggie Westfold, you'll be able to hear her again, celebrating the work of other poets she's known in an hour-long program on May the 11th. It'll be KHOI's Heart of Iowa, which will air at noon and 7 p.m. on May the 11th. And now, I don't know what's happened to our regular guest of the Ames Convention and Visitors Bureau, but I do know some of the things she'd talk about if she were here. I won't do such a good job as she would do, but I'll get on to that. But first of all, since we're still trying to meet our goal in the pledge drive, let me ask you for your money. We hear from our listeners and supporters every day. They visit the station, they write letters and emails, and they make phone calls. We also ask many community members to meet with us and tell us what they think of KHOI. We've learned a few things from listening. We've learned that you have a love of lifelong learning, and you love the music, the culture, such as the poems we've had today, local poetry, everything in life. You want something substantial, not here today and gone tomorrow. You expect credibility from us. You hold us to a high standard. And you're curious. You have high ideals. You believe that society needs art and culture. And you love your local community. And we do too. You believe in civility. You want to preserve and protect the important things in life. These are the goals which we at KHOI are working hard to achieve. We try to share with you the good things about our community here in Ames and the surrounding communities. And if things aren't quite so good, we try to get together and talk about it in a civil manner. You can be part of this effort for our community by becoming a member of KHOI or by contributing to KHOI. Our goal is 25 new members this spring. Thanks to a $15,000 challenge grant provided by several listeners, every dollar you give is worth $2 to the station. So call now at 515-292-2878 or pledge online at khoifm.org or text us at 515-200-7758. And thank you. And now, how about Ames as a tourist destination? When you think of a tourist destination, you may not think right away of Ames, but you should. Ames is exciting destination, and that, of course, is spelt with a C-Y in the middle, is an exciting destination for many types of visitors and travelers. The conference attendees, art enthusiasts, sports fans, business travelers, concert goers. Ames will welcome more than 708,000 overnight guests and thousands more single-day visitors to our community this year. These visitors will spend $130 million in Ames. And according to Allison's notes here, the source for that is Iowa Economic Development Authority 2016. Visitors such as your relatives, friends from out of town who come to Ames are always looking for things to do, places to eat, shop, and stay in Ames and Iowa State University. And we have plenty of CY sites. Sites to share with them. Visitors rely on our frontline employees, our tour guides, our volunteers, our retailers, and you, our residents, to welcome and make them feel at home while staying in our city. visitors turn to the Ames Convention and Visitors Bureau and to you, the local resident, as the local expert, to rely or recommend things to do, eat, shop, and stay. To help our visitors and to keep you informed, the Bureau promotes all of these sites of Ames, that's C-Y-T-E-S, sites of Ames in these ways. Sitesofames.com, that's spelled C-Y-T-E-S, of Ames.com, is a quick list of events happening in the next 24 hours. It also includes seasonal lists of things to do. Sites of Ames social media accounts on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Photos, videos, event posting, and sites of the week. The Sites Guide of Ames and Iowa State University is a calendar of events, seasonal things to do with maps. That's published in April, August, and December. And thinkames.com has a full list of upcoming events, attractions, restaurants, hotels, and shopping. And then there's Travel Iowa website and blog. So that's Travel Iowa, all one word, .com, and blog, traveliowa.com. Those are blog posts of seasonal activities and events, Ames community listings. What to do in May? May is coming up. And here are the Bureau's recommended top five. Washed ashore at Ryman Gardens. This opens on Saturday, April the 29th. Unless you've been invited to the preview party. If you're a member of Ryman Gardens, you've been invited to the preview party, which is the day before. But the main opening is on the Saturday, opens at 9 a.m. April the 29th, and is open till 6 p.m. That's Ryman Gardens, 1407 University Boulevard, Ames. Washed Ashore will be the major annual exhibit for Ryman Gardens in 2017, coinciding perfectly with the garden's annual theme of water. Ryman Gardens will feature 10 giant sea sculptures, sea life sculptures, things like seals and, I suppose, whales and things like that, made from trash, collected from beaches, to graphically illustrate the tragedy of plastic pollution in our oceans and waterways. Sculptures are up to 12 feet tall and 15 feet long. The exhibit will run from April the 29th to October the 31st, 2017. Marine debris is a planet-wide problem. Approximately 300 million pounds of plastic is produced globally each year, and less than 10% of that is recycled. Much of it ends up in the ocean. This exhibit is a wake-up call for all of us, whether we live near the ocean or in the heart of the Midwest. We're all affected by water pollution, not only from trash that is thrown into the oceans, but also in our own Iowa rivers and streams. Ryman Gardens will be the first public gardens in the entire country to host this colorful Garbage to Art exhibit, joining the ranks of the Smithsonian, the National Zoo, Denver Zoo, SeaWorld Parks, the San Francisco Zoo, and more. So we're in good company there with this exhibit. And I have been invited to the preview party. I'm not sure if I accepted in time. I was a little late with my RSVP. But anyway, on the invitation, there is a picture of one of these sculptures. And I must say, just from looking at this photograph, I wouldn't know that it was built from garbage. It looks like a beautiful sculpture of a seal. It is of different colors, so in that sense, you can see it's built from different materials. But you're not just looking at piles of trash here. You're looking at sculptures made from these materials that happen to be waste materials. Okay, another event coming up is the Main Street Farmers Market opening weekend and Food Truck Showdown. That's on Saturday, May the 6th, from 8 a.m. till 12:30. The 300 and 400 blocks of Main Street, Ames. Most of you probably already know the farmers market. They're a wonderful destination on a Saturday morning in the summer. Ames Main Street Farmers Market showcases locally produced fruits, vegetables, cheese, meats, honey, jams, mushrooms, eggs, flowers, baked goods, handcrafted items, and so much more. There's live music and children's activities to add to the festive and vibrant atmosphere. And before we go on to any more of the events and things for visitors to Ames, let's make another appeal to your generosity. This is our pledge drive. We are in our fifth year of operation, and we are depending on you to sustain this station. So we're not just asking for your financial support. We're inviting you to become a sustaining member of this community radio station. KHOI depends on its unpaid volunteers to produce the shows you hear, but we also depend on you to provide the financial support needed to keep the transmitter humming and to pay the other operating expenses. You can share in the ongoing operation of the station by becoming a member of KHOI. A basic membership is just $55 for a whole year. That's 15 cents a day. Or you can become a friend of KHOI for $250 a year. That's $20 a month. I think we're worth it. And right now, thanks to a $15,000 challenge grant provided by some of our listeners, every dollar you give is worth $2 to the station. Our goal is to sign up 25 new members this spring. If you are a new member and would like a thank you gift, please stop by the station for a KHOI coffee mug or T-shirt. And we do have some weather radios. I'm not sure if they've all gone yet, but there's those too. This is a great time to become a member of KHOI. Call us at 515-292-2878 for information, or go to our website, khoifm.org, and press the donate button. Or text us at 515-200-200-7758. And thank you. Now, I'm going to ask our engineer, Cynthia. She's got some news about things that are coming up in Ames, too, about the senior variety show, I believe.
Well, I engineer for Carol Horowitz, and I have some music here that was from the senior variety, their theme. Some of their themes going on from the 60s. And I hope you like the music. It's Simon and Garfunkel, Feeling Groovy.
One, two, three.
Slow down, you move too fast. You got to make the morning last. Just kicking down the cobblestones, looking for fun and feeling groovy. La-da-da-da-da-da, feeling groovy. Hello, lamppost, what you knowin'? I come to watch your flowers growin'. Ain't you got no rhymes for me? Do-do-do, feeling groovy. Ba-da-da-da-da-da, feeling groovy. I got no deeds to do, no promises to keep. I'm dappled and drowsy and ready to sleep. Let the morning time drop all its petals on me. Life, I love you, all is groovy.
That was Simon and Garfunkel, Feeling Groovy. It'll be part of the theme music and played at the Senior Variety Show this year. Here's another song that I like from that era. It's from the Fifth Dimension.
Thank you.
This is KHY 89.1 FM, Story City, Ames. You are listening to Local Talk. You know, Kay, there's something I really like about KHY.
Is it my warm and friendly voice?
Well, no. Although I like that, too. But what I really like is something we don't do on KHY.
Something we don't do? What's that?
We don't have commercials. No incessant babbling about stuff we usually don't need. Instead, we hear more music and intelligent talk.
That's great, but isn't what we're doing now commercial? Aren't we trying to sell something?
I prefer calling what we do now an important message, since we're asking for our listeners to help us make KHY commercial-free programming possible.
Good point. KHY does rely on our listeners to pay the bills through their donations, and we air these important messages for only a few days each year.
Which brings me to an important part of the message. Please become a member of KHY or renew your membership now. Basic membership is only $55 a year. That's about 15 cents a day.
Or you can contribute more or less, whatever you can afford. Just call the station at 515-292-2878 and a friendly volunteer will sign you up. Or you can text us at 515-200-7758.
You can also go to our website, khoyfm.org, and tap on the donate button to become a member. Our goal is 25 new members this spring.
Becoming a member is the best way to secure commercial-free radio in central Iowa. This has been Local Talk on Community Radio, a program where we explore stories, people, and places in central Iowa. And I've been your co-host, Kay Partick, helped very much today by my engineer, Cynthia McClure. And I've just been acting the part of Alison Walters of the Ames Convention and Visitors Bureau, not doing such a good job as she would do. And before that, we heard from local poets Dennis Malsby and Maggie Westfold. Local Talk's theme music is Backtrackin' by Tom Richards and Al Harris from their CD, The Ballad of Kate Shelley. Local Talk is a radio production training workshop as well as a radio show. If you'd like to join our team as a radio host or reporter, contact us at 292-2878 or contact us through our website, khoyfm.org. And while you're there, don't forget to make a pledge. Or just drop by the studio at 410 Douglas in downtown Ames, where you're always welcome. If you enjoyed this show, please tell your friends, check us out on Facebook, and donate. This show was engineered by Cynthia McClure, who also helped out with some music in a hot spot here, and it will air again at noon and 7 p.m. today. You can also listen to this show and all our past Local Talk shows online at our website, khoyfm.org. You'll find today's show on our homepage as soon as our webmaster, Ron Carson, is able to post it. And KHOI is streaming live online at khoyfm.org, where you can find archives of all KHOI's other shows. And now stay tuned for Morning Masterpieces. And please remember that you, as listener, are the most important part of Local Talk. Your participation as audience and your generous donations help make it all possible. And now thank you for listening. Don't forget to donate so that we'll be able to see you again on the radio.
KHOI is funded in part by the Ames Chamber of Commerce. Find job opportunities throughout Ames and Story County at workinames.com. Again, that's workinames.com.